Yat.
Of which.
Arte.
For the purpose. Iha.
In this material world.
Karmani.
Many activities.
In factories, industries.
Speculation and so on.
Vidvat.
Advanced in knowledge.
Mani.
Mani.
Thinking himself to be.
Asakrit.
Again and again.
Nadaha.
A person.
Karoti.
Performs.
Ataha.
From this.
Viparyasam.
The opposite.
Amogam.
Unfailingly.
Vindate.
Achieves.
Pulam.
Result.
Translation.
A materialistic person, thinking himself very advanced in intelligence, continually acts for economic development.
But again and again, as enunciated in the Vedas, he is frustrated by material activities either in this life or in the next.
Indeed, the results one obtains are inevitably the opposite of those one desires.
So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
No one has ever achieved the results he desired from material activities.
On the contrary, everyone has been frustrated again and again.
Therefore, one must not waste his time in such materialistic activities for sensual pleasure, either in this life or in the next.
So many nationalists, economists, and other ambitious persons have tried for happiness individually or collectively, but history proves that they have all been frustrated.
In recent history, we have seen many political leaders work hard for individual and collective economic development, but they have all failed.
This is the law of nature as clearly explained in the next verse.
So,
yadartehi karmani vidvan manyas kutnadaha karutjito viparyasam amogam vindate palam.
So Om Magana Timadanda Shah Niranjana Shlakya Chakshur Meditam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
So here, primarily we're talking about activities in the mode of passion. How many modes are there?
Three.
And what are the three modes? You don't know what the three modes are?
The three modes are ignorance,
that's
passion,
and
goodness.
Good. Okay. So activities in goodness, very good, are there so that people, let's say, in the mode of goodness, you try to be happy, you try to be peaceful, you try to be satisfied with where you are, and ultimately you try for liberation. Just like you have the four purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Right? You've heard about that before? So each one of them has a mode of nature attached to it. Like dharma is like the mode of goodness, and moksha is also the mode of goodness too. You got two at either end. It's like a cycle. First you want to be religious, you know, pious, that's dharma. And then after that you want to make money, artha. And then after that you want to enjoy your senses. Then finally moksha, you want to get out of everything. So the interesting thing is that you start with the mode of goodness, and then you actually come to passion, which is being described here in this verse, right? Artha, artha, economic development. And then you come to kama, and kama is in what mode? Does anyone know?
Ignorance.
You know, lust is in the mode of ignorance. So it's a whole chain. And then when you get frustrated with the mode of ignorance, as stated, Avritam Gyanamitena Gyanino Nichavayana Kamarupena Kuntya Dushbraina Elena Cha.
It's like the mode of ignorance is the more you try to enjoy, the more dissatisfied and crazy you get. And then you want to get out of the world, and then you come back to goodness again. I want to get liberated. So it's like a continual cycle. You go from goodness to passion to ignorance, and then back to goodness again. And you go again and again and again. Because after liberation, let's say you get mundane. Yeah, we can call it mundane liberation. That means liberation without Krishna consciousness. Then Aruya Kachena Parampadam. Then you come back to the material world, like the Mayavadis. They want this liberation without Krishna. So because of that, they go up, Aruya Kachena Parampadam, and then they come down again. And why do they come down from that liberation? Because the living entity is naturally active, and if you go up to the Brahma Jyoti, you're inactive. It's like telling a child, just sit there and do nothing. What if I tell you to sit there and do nothing? Keshav, what do you say?
I wouldn't like it.
You wouldn't like it. And after a while, you won't listen either. Did your parents ever send you to the corner and say, don't do anything, just sit in the corner? No?
We don't have corners.
You don't have corners in your house.
We have corners, but they don't make us sit in them. But in our class, we have no corners.
You have no corners in your class?
No, we have.
It's a round building?
Corners. Naughty corners.
Naughty corners. Ah, see?
When people be naughty, we the teacher tells them to go.
Now, have you ever had to sit in one of those naughty corners? Is that the truth? Okay, that's good. So, that's like going to the Brahma Jyoti, you know, getting this liberation without Krishna. Then it's just boring after a while. Can you imagine, like, just having nothing to do all day long? It's quite boring. It's like, you know, like, so that's Buddhism and Shankaracharya's philosophy. It's just like either voidism or impersonalism. And so then you come again to the mode of goodness. So Prabhupada said when the impersonalists fall down, first they come to the mode of goodness. In other words, they come and open up hospitals and everything like that. That's the mode of goodness. When you try to help people, engage in charitable activities, you join UNICEF or UNESCO. I don't know if you know what these organizations are. UNICEF is the United Nations Organization for Children, and UNESCO is the, what is it they do exactly? I guess they help people with health and everything around the world. So, I mean, it's not bad, the mode of goodness. However, it's all sort of useless. Let's say Keshav is in, he's in Africa right now. Let's say he's in Africa. And he was born in Africa, in the jungles of Africa. And you had malaria. Okay, let's just take a hypothetical. So you have malaria, so I come in. You've ever heard of Dr. Stanley Livingston? No, you never heard of him. He went to go to the jungles of Africa. So let's say I go and I say, oh, Keshav, of course you wouldn't have the name Keshav, you'd be Bula Bula or something like that. Because in Africa, they don't name their children Keshav, they name them, you know, Bugada or something like that. Anyway, so then let's say I go to the jungles and I find him. And I cure him of this disease. So that appears to be a very nice thing. But actually, he's suffering from the disease because of what? Why does people suffer from the disease? Karma. So, therefore, he'll have to suffer again in the future because the karma is not yet worked out. Now, that appears very heartless, isn't it? But we do not say, don't help people, but we say help them with Krishna consciousness. Because if I was a devotee doctor, I could go to Africa to save Bula Bula there. And I would tell him to chant Hare Krishna at the same time. And even if he doesn't become a devotee, by chanting Hare Krishna, even without knowing what it is, that's called Nama Bash, chanting. Then he'll become free from his reactions. So I say, all right, chant, Mr. Bula Bula, chant Hare Krishna. And see, now he's free from all the karma. That's pretty good, isn't it?
So we give Krishna at the same time. Because mundane mode of goodness activities do not help anyone ultimately. You understand? Because they have that karma. But if you give them Krishna at the same time, it helps them. So we can go just like devotees go to different places in India. And in India we have a very large food distribution program, Food for Life. I think you've heard of Food for Life before. And in the cities like Delhi and Mumbai and Chennai, we distribute millions of plates of food a day. But they're getting prasadam. It's not just mundane food. If you give people just like vegetables without being offered to Krishna, then you're just increasing their karma. Because even if you eat a vegetable, you're harming the living entity who is in that vegetable. Let's say you eat a broccoli. You know, so if you're not good, you can become a broccoli in your next life. You know what a broccoli is? Or asparagus? You know what an asparagus is? Can you imagine case of taking birth as an asparagus?
Just like a banana. And I have to stay still all day.
Yeah, you have to stay still.
Only comes in
the so, let's say you give them an asparagus to eat, but the asparagus is being killed when you take it out of the ground and you eat it. And so there's karma there. There's karma even in eating vegetables. So, anyway, so Monday, the point I'm making is Monday in charity without Krishna consciousness, without offering food, really doesn't help people ultimately. Therefore, because that material mode of goodness the Mayavadis fall down into after being liberated is tinged with passion. Because it's tinged with the idea, even if you're helping people, that I am saving this person. Like if I go save Keshav there, I'll be thinking, I just saved him. And I'll feel real good about myself. Thinking, I saved him, and that's passion. So that passionate mode or mood leads one to passionate activities. So in other words, the Mayavadis fall down, they open up hospitals, and after that they decide to engage in passionate activities, acquiring money, and then after that, what happens? Then they engage in ignorant activities. Just like there's some Mayavadis in India, impersonalists, who... Anyway, there was one of them. Oh, yeah, there was one big one. I won't mention his name. He wanted to have, you know, passion. He wanted to have a Rolls Royce for every day of the year. I think you know who I'm talking about. And then later on, he died of, I guess I could say AIDS, because he engaged in illicit activities. Interesting, isn't it? So first he starts off, mode of goodness, let me help people. Then... he gets passionate. That's pretty passionate to want a Rolls Royce for every day of the year, isn't it? I can't imagine how much money that would take to have a Rolls Royce every day of the year. And then ultimately he falls into gross ignorance and he dies because of gross ignorance. So that's the point. So right now this verse is talking about artha, or basically economic development. It mentions a materialistic person thinking himself very advanced and intelligent continually acts for economic development. Now, the problem, let's take that economic development in and of itself without the whole chain that we mentioned separately. The problem with that economic development is, according to Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, this passionate thing is born of unlimited desires. It's never satisfied. Avritam jnanamaitena jnanino nichavayana kamarupena kuntiya dushprena lena cha. The example given by Prabhupada is like trying to put out a fire using petrol. It just doesn't work. I mean,
it
makes it bigger, but for a second, you know, one instant it appears to go down. Imagine you call the fire brigade. Is that what you call the firemen here? Fire brigade? You know why they call the fire brigade? You know what a brigade is? No, you don't even know. What's a brigade?
Brigade is like a group of people, and they pass buckets.
Wow, see? He's more intelligent than the adults here. It was called the fire brigade because the fire brigade, originally they didn't have pumps or trucks or anything like that. So they would have like all these different buckets they pass from one to another, and that's called a brigade. Everyone understands that? And so so the name really doesn't apply that they use. It's actually, it's not a fire brigade. It's
you know, firefighters at this point. But they kept the old name. So anyway, so imagine a fire brigade comes to your house, and they say, your house is on fire, and they bring out the gas, bring out the petrol, throw it on the house. That'd be pretty stupid.
Water would be much better.
Yeah, water, or if it happens to be an electrical fire, what would you use? That would be... What?
Carbon
dioxide. Some sort of carbon dioxide or something like that. Or some powder. Different types of fire use different things. Did you know that? Because if you have an electrical fire or even a gasoline fire, if you throw water, what happens?
It makes it bigger.
Makes it bigger. Because why? Because oil floats on top of water. So it spreads it. So one thing you should know, actually, if people ever have a kitchen fire with grease, don't start throwing water over everything. The best way to put out a kitchen fire, if a person catches on fire in the kitchen, you throw them to the ground, and you roll them. You know that? Wow.
Well, just put them in the shower.
No, you don't put them in the shower.
What can I just say? Don't put water on them.
Don't put water on them, or you take a blanket. You take what's called a fire blanket. Every kitchen should have a fire blanket, and you put it over the person, or you put it over the fire. Because without air, all the fire goes, right? The same thing as sense gratification. Without meditating on sense, the sense objects, the fire of material lust goes down. But when you meditate on sense objects, guess what happens? Jayato vishyakpum samasangrastesha vajayate. Sangat sanjayate kama kama krodha vajayate. That's Krishna says in the second chapter. When you meditate on something you want, you become attached to it, and then after that you become lusty. Lusty means like the attachment grows to such an extent you can't live without it. Did you ever have something, Keshav, that you couldn't live without? You just demanded from your parents, I have to have it right now. I'm sure there has been something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Xbox. So you saw, so in other words, he probably saw Xbox on TV or advertised or somewhere like that. And then he began to think about it, right? And thinking, feeling. Then you began to imagine yourself using it, right? In your dreams. And that was Xbox with that Kinect in it? Yeah, he knows what I'm talking about. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, yeah, Xbox with a Kinect means there's a game machine and it recognizes your own bodily motions. So you can stand in front of the TV.
Oh, like Wii.
Yeah, it's like Wii. No, it's better than Wii.
Yeah.
See, he knows. So you meditate on something and then you think about it, you dream about it, you become attached to it, and then you become lusty. You're so attached to it, you can't live without it. And then you go to your parents and you say, I gotta have it. And they say, no, no. And say, no. And then you start crying or throwing a fit, rolling on the ground. Like that. And then your parents get it because they just want to keep you quiet, right? He knows the trick. So so that's...
Oh, my teacher told me another trick. Just bug your parents.
Just bug your parents.
Or bribery.
All right. That's good. I mean, it's good to... Classes for the children. So, anyway, so one is never satisfied, and one becomes more angry and lusty the more one wants. So that's the problem with the mode of passion. So there's other problems, too. There's actually two ways of trying to fulfill your material desires, passionate desires. Did you know that? There's two different paths. One path is the Vedic path, and the other path is the Vikarmic path. In the Vedic path, you fulfill your material desires by performing different sacrifices. And you're pious. And you perform something called karmic activities in the sense of pious karma. And then the result of that is you go to the heavenly planets and you really enjoy. Because in the heavenly planets, you don't get old, you don't get sick, you don't have any... Yeah, you don't have any diseases, you don't... and you know, nothing smells bad there. The fruit is always good. The durukha is always in season. in the heavenly planets. Mangoes are always in season in the heavenly planets. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, that would be good for her.
But the problem with the heavenly planets, as described by Krishna in the Gita, is Shine Punya Marcha Lokam Vishanti. When your good karma runs out, you have to come back here. So that's a big problem, isn't it? So instead of having your good karma run out, then you may have a son who does pinda for you. You know, just like when you get older and your older relatives have passed away, you have to do pinda for your parents, right? You know what that is? That means you pay for them to stay in the heavenly planets for longer. It's like your parents go on vacation and they use a credit card and there's no money left on the credit card and you have to put money in the bank. So that's called pinda, which is what the putras do. Putra means someone who saves their parents or ancestors from hell. Putra, putrayate. So that's an interesting procedure. So you just have to keep having sons and grandsons and great-grandsons and great-great-grandsons, and then you can stay in heaven for a longer period of time. Would that be good? That's why people should have a lot of children, so they can pay their bills in heaven. But ultimately, it runs out, and you come back to the Earth planet.
Actually, it will run out.
Yeah, it runs out. And you know what happens when you're in the heavenly planets? When it's time for your good karma to run out? Your garland starts to fade. And then all of a sudden, you're just falling down to the Earth planet, and you take birth on the Earth planet or some other planet like that. So that's the problem with the pious way of acquiring wealth or opulence. And the impious way is worse. Because when you perform activities against the Vedic injunctions, you have to go to hell in your next life. And hell is quite interesting. You ever read the fifth canto of Bhagavatam? There's a lot of different hells. Like there's one hell where they put you through a sugar cane press. And they squeeze. You ever seen a sugar cane press in India? You saw. And they squeeze you and you go back and forth, like the piece of sugar cane. It's a lot of fun, isn't it? And another hell is where they throw you off a mountain and you have to walk back up again. And they throw you off again, you have to walk back up again.
Why don't they just throw you down and you stay there?
No, because, and then all your bones are broken and you have to walk up the mountain. Another hell is if someone's really romantic and they watch a lot of Bollywood films, then they get to embrace the red hot form. You know, do you ever something hot and you burnt yourself?
Yeah.
Can you imagine a whole person is that same temperature, and you have to give them a hug? Ooh, so that's another hell. You have to just like get burnt all the time. It's not very nice. So. Therefore, those are the two methods of economic development. So the point is, economic development and sense gratification. So the point is how to get out of the mode of passion. And the way we get out of the mode of passion is very easy. You just take good association. If you associate with people in the mode of passion, you'll be passionate. If you go to, you know what a stock market is? They don't know. The stock market is where people are investing money in different businesses. Now, they get something called shares. That means part of a business, investment business. Like if you're going to open up a restaurant, I'll say, oh, Keshav, you're going to open a restaurant? All right, here's $10. Give me 25% of the profit. Right? That's like stock. So people who engage and go to the stock market, they become passionate. I've seen people in New York in this place called Wall Street. Some of you might have heard of Wall Street. Some of you. Wall Street is where they have big stock markets. And people are watching the prices all day long. There's this thing called the ticker tape. You've heard of that? And they watch the price. Oh, this went up. I made so much money. This went down. I lost so much money. This went up. Old people, like 80 years old, just sitting there all day long. I made money. I lost money. They have a nervous breakdown, they commit suicide. And actually, some people in the 1920s, they had this thing where all the stocks went down. Everyone lost money. And people jumped from the buildings. because they lost all their money. That's the motive passion. You heard about that? That was the depression. Depression means when someone's very sad. So that's passion. So how to get out of that? Instead of going to the stock market, you go to Krishna's market, the temple, and you hear about Krishna. And of course, people do have to do business. People do have to engage in some sort of economic development. But if that's dedicated to Krishna, then they're actually associating with Krishna. When you associate with Krishna, you get attached to Krishna. Just like if I associate with some sense object. Just like if I look at your iPod, I think, oh, I should have one too. Actually, I do. But anyway. So he's looking at my iPad. Like I just have a little one. He has a big one.
And my sister has a big one.
So just like when we contemplate things in this world, we get attached and we get lusty. If we contemplate Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, Krishna's holy name, because Krishna is all attractive, then we develop attachment. It's called ashakti. Technically, that's the technical Sanskrit word. And then, after that, we become super enthusiastic or even lusty to enjoy Krishna. Or have Krishna's enjoyment, would be more precise. And then, as a result of that, we become absorbed in Krishna. And then, just like you, when you want something, you think, I have to have my Xbox, I have to have my Kinect Xbox. We think, I have to have Krishna, I have to be Krishna conscious. And you're chanting with the same mood, Krishna, I Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram, I am your servant. But somehow or other, I fall into this horrible ocean of birth and death, and then you get Krishna. Just like if you beg something for enough times from your parents, you'll get it, right? But if I beg something enough times, if I beg pure devotional service from Krishna enough, while I'm chanting his holy names, I will get it too. I have to, just like you throw yourself on the ground and roll and cry, I have to do that for Krishna. Because Prabhupada said the price of pure devotional service is tears. This technical Sanskrit word is lalyam, which means greed. Just like you were talking about greed for your Xbox, right? So if I become greedy for Krishna, but I have to associate with devotees who are also greedy for Krishna. So everything's based, the point is everything's based on association. 100%. Everything is based on what you contemplate and who and what you associate with. Like if you, for example, if you watch Bollywood films, you'll be in passion. And you'll never want Krishna. It's like I was doing a marriage the other day and talking about, and I always talk about Bollywood films. So I said, nowadays people have these unrealistic expectations about marriage because they watch the Bollywood films. And they think that their marriage is going to be like, some like dream Bollywood film. And therefore it creates problems in the marriages when they discover, their wife is not like some superstar. And the husband's not like Vivek Oberoi, he has his problems, bad breath or whatever. And unrealistic expectations people have. And then I said, then they find out, this is actually a little interesting joke, then they find out that their marriage is not like a Bollywood film, it's like the Mahabharat War. If they have that unrealistic expectation. So anyway, so basically we should control what we or who we associate with, and then we'll be Krishna conscious. Otherwise we'll just be running around this world continually frustrated. So any questions or comments about this point, about the mode of passion, etc., and how to avoid the mode of passion.
Is it the mode of goodness is good in itself?
The mode of material goodness is not, because one gets bewildered by a false sense of happiness and thinks everything is all right. Just like one, let's say material goodness, I would look at the sunrise and think it's so, one morning I was walking. I was walking in Fiji near our temple in Suva, and the sunrise was very beautiful, all these different colors and everything like that. And basically I was forgetting Krishna. I was looking at the sunrise and saying, wow, how beautiful. Fiji's like heaven. So I was getting attached to Fiji, which Sometimes it's pretty heavenly there, but sometimes it's pretty hellish. So, Krishna reminds me. Devotees are so kind to remind me that the material world is a place of ignorance. It's a place of suffering, sorry. So, but that's mode of goodness. It takes you away from Krishna. Because you think that everything is nice. And you forget that one day you're going to pass away from this body. And that it's dangerous to be in the material mode of goodness. Because as Krishna says in the Gita, the modes are always struggling to control you. Sometimes the mode of goodness is prominent, defeating passion and ignorance. Sometimes passion is prominent, defeating the other two modes. So there's no stability in this world. Just like Ajamil. Ajamil was in the mode of goodness, but then he saw this prostitute being embraced by Shudra. And then immediately by contemplating that, by that association, he went into the mode of ignorance. So that happens. It's not stable. But the spiritual mode of goodness, which is called Vishuddha Sattva, is actually very nice. What's that? Triguna Vishaya Veda Nish Triguna Vavarjuna. Right. That we have to rise above this. However, it's good to cultivate mode of goodness qualities, like being equipoised, self-controlled, kind, tolerant. Sama Dhammak Dapaksho Jam Shanti Rajiva Mevacha. We should cultivate those mode of goodness qualities, even the material mode of goodness qualities, because that will help us to concentrate on Krishna. But we shouldn't become allured by the mode of goodness. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because people, not devotees, but they are people, they say mode of goodness, but they don't know what goodness
really
means.
Yeah, I mean, just like yesterday, I was reading this airline magazine is always coming in. And they were presenting, like, the goodness of being in the forest. And then they were talking about eating different parts of the animals as part of that article. I mean, they just said, it's natural. We have the wild pigs, you can eat their feet. They taste very good. Yeah, isn't it? I mean, actually, in America, that's one among certain ethnic groups. That's one of their favorite food, pickled pig's feet. Oh. Just like you have pickles, but they're made from mangoes or lemons or something like that. So there they pickle the pig's foot and they eat it. Or their chips are made of pig skin. It's pretty gross, isn't it? But it's very popular. Very, very popular. You know, people are just like crazy. So anyway, so people think, this article, it was just about in the forest, beautiful forest, it was in Australia somewhere. Australia has so many natural things. I mean, it's interesting. Even they were advertising in this magazine how wonderful it is to go to the desert, the natural desert in the middle of Australia. Where's that place called?
Israel.
Azrak. No, not Azrak. This is a place where they have all the racing. You know, they have these car races in the desert. Anyway, and they say this is very natural mode of goodness. Like, they didn't say mode of goodness, but they pretty much portrayed it like that. But it was just based on car racing, which is ignorance and passion. You like car racing?
I never watched car racing.
That's good. So,
mode of goodness is still just like mode of ignorance. You have to come back again.
Yeah, you have to come back again, and then ultimately you fall down. Like I mentioned, the Mayavadis, they come down in the mode of goodness, and ultimately they get down into passion, thinking themselves the doer, and ultimately they go into ignorance, like that one Mayavadi I mentioned. Okay, any other questions or comments? Sanavali?
You do good to others, that's more of goodness, but that's material more of goodness.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we have to also read about Krishna qualities, form, and pastimes.
Yeah.
More of goodness, remembering those means that we are not associating with the karmic type of
right.
Mode of
goodness. Yeah, that's
what Ananta says.
That's that should call it. Yeah.
Because that's the purified mode of goodness. See, the mode of goodness in this world has some contamination with the other modes. That's the problem. It's not pure. It has a tinge of passion and a tinge of ignorance in it. But the purified mode of goodness, Vishuddha Sattva, it's called, is actually Krishna consciousness. Okay. I think we should end. Right? Do we have your permission, Keshav, to end? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.